Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Well, to begin today's message, I'm going to direct your attention to the screens.
I go on Google.
I definitely Google.
I go on Wikipedia.
Internet.
I scroll through all the different answers, and then I try and combine it, and then make my own kind of like cornerstone.
Or smart friends.
I don't ask big life questions. It's too hard to answer.
Google. Or my grandmother.
I meditate or I read.
When I have a big life questions, I probably go to my family.
I haven't really had any massive ones yet. So.
To my mom or my dad, basically.
My mom or my dad, maybe my grand.
I get most of my answers from the library, in any section there, because I don't really trust the people that I'm around.
The key is always to yourself. You got to figure some things out for yourself.
If I'm confused, I go to him first. And he confuses me more.
But when it's something more personal, I try to find it within myself first.
We all have questions. I want to begin by reading a question that was asked centuries ago by a man in the ancient world named Job, and our Bible records this. It's a question that came from a man who had experienced a lot of good and joy in his life, and also a man that went through intense suffering. And it was in some of those moments that were the darkest from the darkest valleys of his life that he actually said these questions. Job chapter 3, verse 11, he said, "Why did I not perish at birth? Why did I not die as I came from the womb?" You know, these are questions that maybe we don't word in that way, but questions that we all have. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the bullseye, if you will, of my life? What is my reason for being alive here on planet Earth? And Lord, I just ask over these next few moments that the words that I share will be that which pleases you and that which accomplishes what you want it to today. In your name, amen. Recently, I read of Leo Tolstoy, who is the author of War and Peace. Some of you recognize that title. He also wrote another book called A Confession in 1879, and this chronicled his journey of trying to somehow figure out meaning and purpose for his life. He wrote that after his time in university, he tried to get as much pleasure out of life as he could, and so he jumped in and engaged with the social life of Moscow and St. Petersburg in the 1800s and quickly got into a lifestyle of sleeping around and drinking heavily and gambling and just leading a really wild life, but he found that it didn't satisfy him. And then he became ambitious for money. He had inherited a large estate, and also his books, as you can imagine, made him a lot of cash. Yet that didn't satisfy him either. He sought success and fame and importance. And after all of that and all that he achieved, he was left asking the question, so what? What's left? To which he had no answer. So he became ambitious for family to give them the best possible life. He married a kind, loving wife and then had, get this, 13 children. 13 children. He was surrounded by what many saw as happiness. He was surrounded by what many saw as success. And yet there was one question that he couldn't escape that actually brought him to the verge of suicide. And here's what he said at that point in his life. Is there any meaning in my life which will not be annihilated by death which awaits me? He searched for the answers in every field of science and philosophy, but left feeling that those attempts at answers did not satisfy him. And then eventually, he found among Russia's peasants the answer that he had been searching for. It was their faith in Jesus Christ. And after his conversion to Jesus, for Jesus to be his Lord and Savior, he wrote this, and I quote, "He was led inescapably to the conviction that only faith gives life meaning." You see, Tolstoy's search is our search for meaning and for purpose. We can try to drown out that question. We can avoid it for a time. We can try to put it off, but we can't keep escaping that question forever. And it's a question that not only have we asked and we ask, but it's a question that people centuries ago, like Job, asked in the ancient world. Like, why am I here? Why did I make it? Others didn't. Why am I breathing on this earth? And in today's message, I want us to look at an answer to that question in one of the most famous, and I would say the most powerful prayer ever prayed. It was prayed by Jesus Christ himself, as recorded in John chapter 17. You can turn there if you would like. And in this passage, we are kind of given an inside view, a front row seat to what Jesus was praying to the Heavenly Father in that moment. This took place, many believe, right after the Last Supper, on his way to the garden, where he was then arrested and then sentenced and beaten and crucified. And it was in these moments that Jesus prayed this profound prayer. I want you to see this as I read along. Chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And in this first part of his John 17 prayer, the word glory, or the verb form glorify, stands out as a theme. In fact, Jesus used it 5 times in just these few short verses. It's the word doxa in the Greek, and it can simply mean honor, but when you think in terms of God's glory, when we read the Bible in terms of God's glory, that's so much more than one word. I mean, we're talking about the brightness that surrounds God. Some people exude confidence. God exudes glory. It's the majestic splendor of his presence that just comes out of him, his powers, his holiness that just comes out of him. Psalm chapter 105 says this, "O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in majesty and splendor, covered with light as with a garment." It is just this illumination that's coming out, emanating from who God is, that cannot be stopped. It is so bright, but it's beyond even bright. I mean, in Revelation, we read that in heaven, we will have no need of a lamp or even the sun, S-U-N. We'll have no need of that because God's glory will literally illuminate heaven. Now, God's glory seems otherworldly, and it seems like something to which we have trouble explaining. I mean, as I have worked on this message and prayed and prepared, I'm telling you, I was like, Lord, it's got to be like a definition right here or a word that just encapsulates God's glory. But what I have found is that totally comprehending and even explaining God's glory is impossible with human terms. It's just beyond us. And aren't there so many things about God that are just beyond us? Right? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there's so many things about God and what he does and how he thinks that it's just like, whew. I mean, we understand a sliver, right? And God understands everything. I mean, think about even the fact that in the Word of God we read and know clearly throughout Scripture that there is only one true God. And this one true God, as we read in Scripture, reveals himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Same in power, same in substance, but one God, one true God. How do we compute that? How do we compute God's glory? It's very difficult, even impossible, to define it in human terms, and I wonder if that maybe is the point. Because God the Father had the plan of revealing to us his glory, and he did that by sending God the Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Think about it like this. Jesus is, you could say, the blazing center of God's glory, and God the Father sent God the Son to this earth that he had created. And he was sent with a mission. And Jesus's mission was to bring God's glory to earth. for there to be a visible revelation of who God is being brought to, not just in the heavens, but being brought to this earth, to this physical earth that we are living in that he created. John chapter 1 says this, the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh, God's Son became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And we have beheld his glory, the apostle said, we have beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, who is full of grace and truth. Later in the New Testament, we read that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And that was Jesus' mission, to bring God's glory and God's kingdom to earth. But there was another part to his mission, and that was God the Father was not just wanting God the Son, Jesus, to bring God's glory to earth, but for Jesus to bring God glory on earth. You see that? Bring God's glory to earth, but then the mission was for Jesus to bring God the Father glory while on earth. And that is our key text for today's message. It's chapter 17, verse 4 from John, which says this. Jesus is speaking to Heavenly Father, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus brought God the Father glory on earth by finishing the work that God the Father had given him to do. You see, the bullseye for Jesus while he was on this earth was bringing glory to God the Father. The bullseye for Jesus, bringing God's glory to earth, and then while on earth, bringing God glory. Shining light on him, pointing people to God, pointing people to the revelation of who God is in Jesus. That was his bullseye, bring God glory. Now here's the thing. That is the bullseye for you and I as well. What is our bullseye? What is our meaning? What is our purpose? Jesus' bullseye was bringing God glory while on earth, and it's your bullseye to bring God glory. Isaiah 43 says this, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is very key for us because we miss this a lot. And it's this. God created you for him. You were created by God for God. Today, most likely, you will breathe 23,000 times. There's one of those. 23,000 times. And every single one of those breaths is only because of God. Because God put you on this earth and God gave you breath. When God's done giving you breath on this earth, you will not breathe anymore on this earth. You won't. We were created by God. We have to understand we were created for God, for his glory. And it's so important for us to get this and then to get it again and then to get it again. And it's this. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. We miss this so much. Coming out of the womb, we think it's about us, right? We get older, we think it's about us. If we get married, we say it's not about us, it's about the other person, but really we think it's about us. And then when we become parents, I think we really get this turned around because then we make it all about our kids. But it's not about them. It's not about us. It's all about him. Now, I want to do this, and I rarely ever ask you to do something like this, but I think that we need to do it. I think we need to hear this, and that is, I want you, in the most loving and kind voice that you have, to turn to someone that's around you and just say to them, whether you know them or not, it's not about you. Can you do that right now? It seems like you are enjoying that a little bit way too much. Doesn't that feel so good to tell somebody that? It's not about you. That feels so good. It doesn't feel as good to hear it, but I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. It's not about you. It's not about me. We were created for him. See, our bullseye, our bullseye is to bring God glory. We were created by Him and for Him. Our bullseye is to bring Him glory. And it's so important for us to know what our bullseye is, because if we don't know what our bullseye is, we're not going to hit it. For those of you that shoot guns and arrows and all of these things, if you don't have a target, you're just like, what? I mean, that's not going to go well. That's the bone arrow. Yeah, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. You have to know what the bullseye is, what the target is, so that you can hit it. Imagine walking into a famous steak restaurant. You are excited about this. You have intentionally not eaten for a day and a half so that you could be more hungry. You walk into this steakhouse and the smells are just all around you, and you're walking to the table and you're just like eating the smells. You're just like, I don't know, made that one up. I don't know if that actually happens. You get down, you get to your table, you get the menu. This is going to be easy for you. You're skipping all these other things. The only decisions that you have are this. Am I going T-bone or porterhouse? That's the only question that you have. Or maybe the second question is 16 ounce or 24 ounce. Those are the only really questions that you have at that point. You don't care about anything else. Sides, who cares? This is what you want. You want a steak. And so you order this. The server leaves. A little bit later, they come back and they bring bread and salad, which you basically don't touch because you're holding out for the steak. All of a sudden, after 20, 25 minutes, which felt like an eternity, doors open. The server comes out with that tray and you're just like, yeah, steak, knife, fork in hand, ready to go. And they set the food down before you, and to your shock, they have set before you a heaping plate of spaghetti. Now, how many of you, even though the server says this is going to be the best spaghetti you've ever had in your life, how many of you are satisfied in that moment or happy? No way. Spaghetti has its place in life. I'll give you that. But in that moment, I don't think so. You're upset. You're like, what? But that's not what I ordered. Let's get serious for a moment. I wonder how many people will stand before God on Judgment Day and show God all the things that they've done, all the things that they've accumulated, and all the things that they've accomplished during their time on the earth. And how sobering would those words be from God if He said to any of us, but that's not what I ordered. That's not what I wanted. That's not the bullseye of why I placed you on planet Earth. You see, we have to be so careful because it is scarily easy to get off track. It is so easy to expend our passion and our energy and our days on things that are really good, but they're not God. Someone once said that so many people are so busy climbing the ladder of success that they fail to realize the ladder is leaned up against the wrong wall. It's missing the point. And the point in life is to point to Him. The bullseye in life is to give glory to Him. And as Jesus prayed that prayer from John chapter 17, He had a laser-like focus on His bullseye, praying, Father God, I have brought You glory on earth by finishing the work that You gave me to do, by carrying it through to completion, the tasks, the mission, the work that You had given, Heavenly Father given, God the Son, Jesus Christ. This prayer is a model for our life. It's a prayer that I hope that each of us could end up our lives praying at the very end, saying, you know what, Father God, I brought You glory on earth by finishing the work You gave me to do. And I want each and every person to hear this today, that God does have a work for you to do. God has a specific reason why you are on this earth. Why do we all look different? Because God has created a different plan for each one of you. Now, there are things that are unified, there are things that are similar, there are things that are together with our faith in Jesus and worshiping Him, but there is a unique plan that God has for each and every person. The Word of God says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned beforehand for us to do. I mean, God formed you in your mother's womb to be who you are. with a specific plan, specific purposes, with meaning for your life. And as you look at your life and you think about where you're at and you think about your responsibilities, I know for me, I'm a husband and a father and a friend and a son and a neighbor and a boss. And, you know, you can go on down the line and you have your list as well. You have your list as well. This is kind of who I am. This is what my responsibilities are. This is where I'm at in life. And God has specific purpose for each area and each facet of your life. And the purpose is to bring God glory in that. And we can expend our life going here, doing this, doing that. But what are we doing? We're missing. We're missing the shot. And God has given us the bullseye, and that is to bring glory to Him because He created us for Him, created by God for God. And when we think about that bullseye of bringing God glory, it can seem very abstract. It can seem very like otherworldly even. Like, how do I bring God glory? What's tangible in that? What's something I can have as handles in my life? And so what I want to do over the next part of this message, the ending part of the message, is just to simplify, if we could, biblically speaking, how do we hit the bullseye? As people on this earth, how do we bring glory to God in every area and facet of our lives? Because I'm telling you, that is a tall order. I feel that. Like, well, bring God glory like every moment of every day. Like, what? We know us. We know our weaknesses and our issues and our baggage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do we bring God glory? How do we, with laser-like focus, stay zeroed in on the bullseye that God has for every single one of us? So if I could just simplify and giving us some handles, biblically speaking. The first one is this. Hitting the bullseye is about believing, not impressing. Hitting the bullseye is about believing in God, not trying to impress God. 4 weeks ago, our family was visiting friends in Indiana. They had a boat, so we're out on the water, and I told one of my kids that I would try water skiing if they would try it. You know, it's one of those where, they're probably going to say no. They said yes, and so we go out there, and this kid of mine, because they're so nice enough to make me go first, and so I go out there, and I'll be honest, you know, you might think I was scared, and I was worried, am I going to be able to do this? I looked at this like, here's just two skis and it's water. Like, how hard can this be? And so I got out there and I was so confident in my abilities to try water skiing. And I went out there, got strapped into the ski things, and I'm just like, this cannot be that hard. And I literally was so confident, I'm just going to pop up and I'll just kick a ski off. Maybe I'll just kick both off and just use my feet. Maybe I'll just use my chin. Like, this cannot be that hard. It cannot be that hard. I get strapped in and so confident, literally 4.5 seconds later, I had a torn hamstring. And ouch is right. Still kind of hurts right now, but it's mending. And I went from just popping out there, I'm going to water ski, to literally crawling back into the boat and trying not to look as if I was in as much pain as I was. It was the total crawl of shame back into that boat where I sat for the rest of the day watching other people have fun. See, I cannot even impress my kids. And yet, sometimes we try to impress God. Like, if I just do this, if I go to church this number of times, then God will. It's like, there is nothing that we could do that could impress God. God who created this universe, who is above us, who holds all things together by His word. Like, there's no way that we could impress Him because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the standard. We've all missed the mark. Every single one of us have messed up. I don't have to convince you of that. You know that. I know that. We've all missed the mark. We cannot impress God. And there were people that came up to Jesus while He was on this earth, and they had a question that maybe we've wondered about in different ways, and that is, they asked, what are the works that God requires? What must we do in order to fulfill what God requires so that He will accept us? And I'm sure they're ready with their scrolls, ready to write down all the things that they need to do. And Jesus floors them with his response. The work of God is this, to believe. The work of God is this, to believe. To believe in the one that he has sent, to believe in Jesus. That's the work of God. That's the work of God. To believe. Instead of spending our time trying to impress God, trying to crawl to God with our works of, look, God, look at all that I've done. Look at how great I am. Jesus didn't set it up like that. It was believing. It was having faith in who he is. And I find that so refreshing. I find that so refreshing because in my own strength, I can't hit that mark of holiness. I can't in my own strength. I find it liberating to know that the work that God requires is actually faith, to believe in him. John chapter 1, we read this, yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, it's not about impressing God, it's about believing. And hitting the bullseye is when we begin and continue to believe, to trust, to put our faith in God for our salvation, for our life. Secondly, I would say hitting the bullseye is about loving people, not looking past them. Hitting the bullseye is about loving people, not looking past them. I love reading in the Gospels about Jesus and how he was always present in the moment. You see that when you read that. Like wherever he was at that place, in the moment, fully engaged, zeroed in. It didn't matter who was in front of him. If it was a leper, he would touch them. If it was a blind person, he would come up and talk to them. He spoke with the rich and the poor, the adults and the children. He crossed racial lines. If there were cultural taboos, Jesus would walk right through it because he cared about people. He was always present in that moment, as this scripture that we have up on the screens illustrates. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Don't you love that? When the Lord sees you, his heart goes out to you. And as we hear our people on this earth hitting the bullseye, it's about placing our trust in him, and hitting the bullseye is loving people. We glorify God when we love people. Jesus broke it down for us in saying, here are the greatest commandments. Love God, love people. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just lays it on the bottom shelf for us so that we can grasp it. Love God and love people. In doing so, we glorify God. We glorify God. I think at times we suffer as people from the if-onlys. You know, if only I had more time, then I would, you know, care for that person. If only they agreed with me. If only their opinions aligned with mine. If only I had more money. If only I worked in that department. If only I lived in that city. If only I lived in that neighborhood. Then. And what we see in Jesus is that he was just present in the moment. He didn't look past people ever. He just loved them. And when we love people and we don't look past them, people who have been created in the very image of God himself with value and significance, when we love them, we bring glory to God. We bring glory to God. Hitting the bullseye is about loving, not looking past people. Next, I would say hitting the bullseye is about obedience, not applause. It's about obedience, not applause. You ever stop to question yourself and like why we strive to please people, why we strive to get people to approve of us, why we want people to have a good impression of us, why? Paul said this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, hitting the bullseye, bringing glory to God is about obedience, not applause. I mean, as we seek to obey God's word, as we seek to do the right thing by his grace empowerment, we will not always be applauded for it. People will not always be like, yeah, I'm so glad you're doing the right thing. I'm so glad you're trying to follow the word of God. Maybe some of you are dating someone, and if you say, no, I want to live for God. Like, I want to live in purity. I want to honor him. And and this is what the Word of God says, that doesn't mean that the person you're dating will applaud that. You're an employee. There's things that are being asked of you to do that are not legal. They're not right. It's deception. And you say, no, I can't do that. I have to do the right thing because I want to honor God. That doesn't mean that your employer, your boss, is going to clap for you. Okay? But bringing glory to God while we're on this earth is about obedience, not about applause. It's living for the audience of one. It's living for God, knowing that we're going to stand on judgment day before Him, before His throne. We're going to give an account for everything that we've done, everything that we've thought, everything. Have we placed our faith in Him? Are we loving people? And are we seeking to obey His word as He empowers us with His grace? The prayer that Jesus prayed, so powerful that He could come to the end of His time on the earth and say, Father God, I have brought you glory on earth. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus didn't come to please people. He came to save people. And while He was on this earth, I mean, day after day, He received pressure from people. There were members of His own family who were trying to get Him to slow down. He was doing too much. He was too tired, too hungry. They were trying to get Him to slow down. His disciples were trying to get Him to speed up and bring in an earthly military campaign and kingdom into Jerusalem and into Judea. They wanted Him to speed up. The religious leaders that were around Him wanted Him to shut up because of the things that He was saying were contrary to what their box was of what the Messiah would look like. And that's the pressure that Jesus lived in, but yet Jesus was never swayed by public opinion. Read it. He did what He knew the Father was saying. He had to be about the Father's business. He stayed zeroed in on His bullseye to bring glory to God, and it resulted in Him being obedient, bringing glory to God, but without the applause of those around Him. In fact, they deserted Him. May our prayer be that of Christ one day. God, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. It's all for the glory of God. The book All In records that Johann Sebastian Bach was to classical music what Shakespeare was to literature. In fact, Bach wrote 256 musical cantatas. A number of them are very famous even till today, and one of them is played in almost every wedding in the United States. And his music, I believe, has stood the test of time because his songs actually didn't start as songs. His songs actually started as prayers, literally. Before scoring even one note on his paper for a new musical number, before even putting one note on paper, Bach, every single time, would write in small letters, J-J. In Latin, Jesu Iuva, which means, Jesus help me. And at the end of every single one of those 256 incredible musical scores that he composed, at the end of them, he wrote the letters S-D-G. In Latin, Soli Deo Gloria. To the glory of God alone. Before beginning, Jesus help me. And after it was completed, God be the glory. All for His glory. What if we began and ended our days like that? I'm talking this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Get up. Jesus help me. Help me. End of the day, as we look back and what's been accomplished and the progress that we've made and maybe the impact that we've had with other people. To the glory of God alone. Jesus, help me to the glory of God alone, which points us to Scripture, which says, in whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And whatever you do, aim for that bullseye to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Let me give you one last one. It's this. Hitting the bullseye is about the cross, not comfort. Hitting the bullseye is about the cross, not comfort. Word of God says that Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I mean, the cross, humanly speaking, was a grotesque, humiliating way to die. People did not even want to look on a cross, or what, so if someone was on there, it just, what it represented was death, execution, guilt, excruciating pain. But from the heavenly perspective, the cross displayed the splendor and glory of God. The cross and what took place on that, and the empty tomb, displayed the majesty of God. It showcased God Almighty coming to planet Earth, bringing God's glory to our messed up world in order to give glory to God, for God to be glorified through the salvation that Jesus would accomplish. Was the cross comfortable for Jesus? Obviously not. Was it easy? No. But it was about the cross. It was not about comfort. It was never about comfort for Jesus. It was never about comfort. We are not put on this earth for comfort. We are put on this earth for the cross. We're put on this earth to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. We're put on this earth to hit the bullseye of bringing glory to God. See, it was God's desire, as he prayed in John 17, that people would know God. In fact, he said, now this is eternal life. Now this is eternal life, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and the one you have sent, who's Jesus. To boil it down, God's glory coming to earth so that we could have relationship with God. I want to ask everyone, if you would, to please bow your heads. And over the next couple of moments, I'm just praying this would be holy moments for us. For those who have come into this place today, and maybe you've run from God, you've veered off course of serving God, you've come into this place and you've never stepped into a personal relationship with God. I'm talking about receiving forgiveness of your sins. I'm talking about you receiving his presence in your life, becoming a new creation in him, you and God being right. The Word of God makes it clear, it's not of works. It's by faith. It's by faith. By placing our faith in him, Jesus joins us with what he has already accomplished so that we can be forgiven and be right with God and have the promise of eternal life.
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.